just when you think life couldn't get any better, then came along Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and folks, this week's episode of Fish Fry is all about changing the world. One carbon nanotube at a time. We're talking about a revolutionary new solar energy technology from a startup called NovaSolix. CEO and founder Larry Cook is here to explain how NovaSolix is using carbon nanotubes as solar antennas. Yeah, and flipping the script on solar energy as we know it. Check it out. Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
So first off, let me and my audience know a little bit about NovaSolix. So what are you guys about and what do you do?
We're a startup company. Actually, it's just recently our second anniversary, so we've been around for 2 years. We are developing a antenna-based solar cell, very different than your regular silicon solar cell. It basically is a lot of very small antennas where we take the signal. Imagine a radio. You've got an antenna on a radio, and if you ever did one of these little crystal radios, you didn't even have to have a battery. You could just hook your little microphone up to your crystal radio set, and the energy from the antenna would actually play the music for you. What we do is we're taking the energy from light and collecting it on the antenna and rectifying it through a diode. Now, to do that, that diode has to be really small and really fast. And the antenna is about a micron long, and it's also very small. We put about a trillion of these on one square inch, and it collects light by converting it through the antennas. The antennas are actually carbon nanotubes. So we grow the carbon nanotubes from one line across our finger, we call it, across a space to another finger. And the tip of the carbon nanotube connecting to the other side ends up becoming the diode. And the carbon nanotube itself becomes the antenna. And from this, we've been able to rectify visible light all the way out to infrared. So it collects all the light, all sunlight. And that's fundamentally different than photovoltaics or silicon-based solar cells because they can only collect a portion of the entire spectrum of light, whereas we can collect it all. Our first version is going to be half-wave rectified, which means that we're only collecting half of that oscillating light. The other half gets thrown away. In the next version, we'll have a full-wave rectification, in which case we'll collect it all. At the half-wave, we expect to get 40 to 45% efficiency. At the full-wave, we could get somewhere between 80 and 90% efficiency. Right now, we've done a proof of concept, and we're starting to develop a product.
All right, this is super cool. So, Larry, let's talk a little bit more about how your solar cell technology is different from the rest of the solar cell pack.
Okay, so first off, because we're collecting light as electromagnetic waves with antennas, we don't need to have as thick a structure as the silicon PN junction kind of photovoltaics. We actually put our little fingers of aluminum down on, right now, quartz, but we'll go to glass. And the glass can be very thin. In fact, it can be so thin that it'll be flexible. We'll start with flexible glass. We'll put down the aluminum fingers. Those will be less than a micron thick. And the carbon nanotubes will grow from nickel that we put on one side on top of the aluminum to the aluminum finger on the other side, which is about a micron apart. So these little antennas are only about a micron in size. But like I said, there's a lot of them there. That's very little thickness. So we put thicker aluminum bus bars underneath it so that we can actually collect all of the current from the power that we're getting when we convert the light to electricity, and then cover the whole thing with plastic. The whole thing is only going to be about 4 to 6 mils thick. It'll be flexible. And unlike solar cells, where whatever energy they do not collect, they absorb. So if you've noticed, when you look at those solar cells on the tops of roofs, they're off of the roof. Why? Because they get very hot. And so there's a lot of extra effort that goes into creating frames for them. Our solar cells will be cool because whatever we don't collect will reflect. So if the device is off, it'll be fairly light. It'll look like aluminum sheeting. That's what we're going to end up with, and it'll be very different. More power per square inch, lighter weight, cooler, flexible.
So I can only imagine how this technology could change the world. But Larry, how do you think it can?
Well, let's see. There's a lot of things that this will be able to do that you just can't do with current solar cells because of the flexibility. We could put them on tents. We could put them on awnings. We could put them on jackets, on people, on hats. That alone is very different than what you would normally expect to see with current solar cells. But what's perhaps even more important is that once we get into large volume production, we will end up being able to manufacture these things at a fifth of what current solar cells do and be twice as productive per square inch. And as a result, it'll be a tenth of what current solar cells cost. At those prices, we should be able to sell them to the entire world. Essentially, the cheapest form of energy will be solar energy. And at that point, it will be easier to get all your energy needs from solar and change the world. There won't be a need for oil or natural gas or anything else because it'll be cheaper to just do everything with solar.
Absolutely. All right, Larry, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you have a bit of a vineyard, and your vineyard is kind of unique in a couple ways. Tell my audience more about that.
Well, it's 1 acre, so it's not very large, but we actually have 1,800 vines, which is a little unusual. I had originally thought that we were just putting in a small vineyard, and it turns out that I live in the Santa Cruz Mountains. It turns out that a lot of other people have vineyards. But when we got together with a number of them talking to the Viticulture Society up here, almost all of them have, 300 vines, 400 vines, 100 vines. So I realized that when we put in 1,800 vines, we ended up being on the small side of a real vineyard. So we've got all of the wires put in, et cetera, and we have drip irrigation. And the other thing that was a little bit funny is that we put this in 4 years ago. Now, we didn't know that we were in the middle of the worst drought in California until we were already 2 years into the vines. But we toughed through it, and with the drip irrigation, the vines survived, and we've got our first harvest was last year, and our next harvest is going to be this year. And I expect we'll probably get at least a ton of grapes this year. So
excellent. That is impressive.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Larry. This was super cool.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Of course we want newer, smarter solar technology, but don't we need some smart factories to go along with that newfangled solar power? Well, yes. Yes, we do. But as you probably already know, IIoT, or the Industrial Internet of Things, has a unique set of challenging requirements for us as designers. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled Industrial IoT Smart Factory, I sit down with Dan Isaacs of Xilinx and talk all about how we can meet the security, performance, and flexibility demands of IIoT. You won't want to miss this one. So you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by heading on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal. You can also simply click the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, or you can also check out the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and even more. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, see you at DAC in a couple weeks. Or even the best geeky hotspot in your city. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 5th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.